All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing on the day after the biggest sporting event on the planet? I'm sure people have kicked it around and discussed some of the things, but not all of the things that we're about to discuss, and that's why you're tuned in to us, because we give you knowledge you can't get anywhere else. It is Nick, it is Barry, it is Joel, it's The Usual Suspects. We are here till 4 o'clock, and we will take you through your work day and whatever you are up to the day after the Super Bowl by covering a variety of topics. We'll be rudely interrupted by Charlie Pulillo from 1:30 to 2, as we normally are on Mondays and Fridays, but we'll make our way through that as well, because that's the way we do. We persevere to make sure that you guys are entertained. That's what we do.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I agree with you about knowledge that you won't get anywhere else.
Who's smarter than we are?
Do we have time to make a list?
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't like the curtains being open. I can't see Nick's face, first of all.
It's a blessing in disguise.
It does look different in here. Oh, they painted the walls and
no,
stuff.
No, it's not paint. It's
not
carpet.
Paint, it's carpet.
They put carpet on the walls. They got rid of those stupid foam things.
Well, they kept falling on the floor anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, and so we're moving on up in the world. This looks fancy in here.
It does look very much more modern and professional in this studio.
Maybe next we'll get a microphone that won't fall apart during
one of these days
a stale bread.
AD's coming in. He's just going to kill you.
I know.
Man. You do break a lot of stuff around here, don't you?
Well, he keeps busting AD. Was it last week when the mic broke mid segment,
and AD Trey was with and you,
and all of a sudden during the break, AD hit his knees and went under the console. I'm like, he's putting a bomb in there. He's going to kill Barry.
I didn't do anything on purpose. It's an accident.
What, verbally disparaging our guy on air?
I'm not talking about AD. AD doesn't control this little thing that
you
comes apart or not.
You called him out and directed your comments right
when?
At him.
Not today.
No,
you're
not
trying
today.
To. You're putting words in my mouth.
Last
you're
week,
trying
you're
to
like,
get me
AD,
in trouble.
This is your fault. You did this. Is everything's falling apart?
I don't think you understand what a joke is. When he was right there in
I'm
the
not
studio,
the professional. You are.
Yeah,
you
he was
us.
Right there, and it fell apart. And so I don't think you understand how that works. How much weight did you gain?
I didn't.
You're a liar.
I didn't. You know what?
Joseph,
here's the thing.
Don't lie to me.
Look, I saw that you already burst the bubble of everybody during the weight loss challenge. You were going to go nuts.
Yeah.
I actually did not eat except for a smoothie until after the game, and then I realized there was nothing in the house that I thought we had. So I found a chicken breast, which I ate, and then while I was doing my article for Sports Map, I killed about half of a half gallon of chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream because I had to have something.
So you were doing fine up until you started writing, and then you just lost it, huh?
It's like, if I'm going to stay awake and get this done,
right?
Yeah, I'm going to need a little.
So what'd you write about on Sports Map?
I wrote about the fact that for all the fans that are highly critical of the Rockets because of their playoff failures, that they should be more apt to just tune into enjoying the regular season because it's a hell of a run they're on.
Uh-huh.
And worry about the playoffs later, because people are always crapping on them for everything, and it's about time to realize, hey, as a regular season team, they're pretty damn good.
Yeah, it could be worse, right? I mean,
yeah.
it could be Brooklyn or somebody like that.
That's what I said. I said in the exact thing in the article. I said you could
look
be the Suns, you could be the Nets, but instead you got a team that basically has got a shot to win every game, an MVP candidate, one of the best point guards of all time.
Yeah,
and yet you're crapping on them because they're not the Warriors yet,
and you're concerned about MVPs.
Yeah,
I gained.
Oh, yeah, you went nuts, didn't you?
Are you ready? Nick, how much did you gain? Did you eat a lot?
I don't know if I gained. I didn't really weigh myself, but...
You're not obsessed like me?
No, I don't.
I weigh every morning. Am I the only one that does that?
You are.
No, you're not. You're not. Because I was actually out with a buddy of mine, and he's like, dude, I weigh myself sometimes 2 or 3 times a day.
Yeah, I mean, literally, I'll weigh when I get home. I weigh before I go to bed. I weigh when I get up in the morning. If I go running, I weigh afterwards.
Yeah. He does it in the morning after he works out. He mentioned all that. Like,
okay,
he does,
good.
You're not the only one.
Sometimes 4 or 5 times a day.
That's excessive.
It's easier. He is the only one.
That is excessive 4 or 5 times.
Why
would you step on a scale 4 or 5 times?
Because I'm obsessed with
trying to... Like, I play basketball with a guy that's a father of two, mm-hmm. that played basketball in college, that's about 6'5", 6'6".
he's one of those guys, like before basketball, he weighs himself. Then mm-hmm. after that, we have to wait to start the first game because he has to go weigh himself. Then after the game, he weighs himself again. It's like, dude, it's water weight when you're playing. It's just stupid.
Can I tell you something embarrassing?
Please.
Joel's like, yes, please. Please give me ammunition. Okay. I don't mind. I'm not scared. I'll usually weigh myself.
What, you want to fight? It's not that kind of. We're not Josh Ennis. Go.
What?
There's no scared in here.
I usually weigh myself before and after I poop.
Oh, my God.
Like, what? Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I want to see how
much. Does it make that much a difference?
Sometimes. Sometimes I'm like, wow.
I told Nick this last week, by the way, on that topic.
Daddy ate a lot.
And speaking of that, too, with Daddy, I had Nick cracking up last week. But I'm like, the one thing that kills me is I should weigh my daughter before and after. Because my little girl, only 2.5 years old, I marvel at what comes out of her rear end. Because I'm telling you, she craps the size of like a sweet potato.
Would a Philly fan eat it?
It's possible, yeah. I'm like, how could that come out of my daughter? And I don't know how she isn't in like extreme pain getting rid of it. But if we waited, I guarantee it's about a 2-pounder.
Yeah, so I weigh... I'll weigh then. Sometimes I'll weigh in the first thing in the morning. I get out of bed and I'll weigh, and then I'll pee, and then I'll weigh again. You'd be surprised how much you lose just with your morning pee. It's
really?
Crazy. Yes, sometimes it's a pound. I'm not even lying.
Why? Well, just like super concentrated pee.
Yeah, like if you drink a lot right before you go to bed, and you don't get up all night. You really got to. Some mornings you wake up and you're like, man, I really. And you're there for a while.
You just weigh yourself before and after everything.
Pretty
before
much.
Before and after a haircut.
With
her glasses on, with her glasses off.
Not a haircut. And always naked. Always naked. Never with clothes on. That doesn't count. Always, because the baseline is first thing in the morning, empty bladder.
That's when you're really supposed to do it.
Butt naked.
For your most accurate weight.
That's what
right
I do.
Right when you wake up.
Yeah. Right when you wake up. Get that first pee out of the way and then weigh yourself. And that's the weight that I go by. So like when we're doing this Usual Suspects challenge and all that, it's different because you're here, you got clothes on, you've eaten lunch. But anyways, I woke up Sunday morning at 190 on the dot. And I had gotten below there, so
this
I was
is
a little
pre-Super Bowl.
Yes, Sunday morning I woke up, I was 190 on the dot.
Yep.
This morning I was 195 and a half.
No way.
Yeah. I ate
5.5 pounds in one day?
Yeah. I ate a lot of fajita meat. We made the Chewy's jalapeno ranch dip. I made that because I got a long time ago, one of the waitresses, I asked her one day, I was just like, how do you make this stuff? She goes, oh, you just do this. And my wife has a really good memory. So when we got home, we wrote it all down and every once in a while. And my niece, Mandy, had never had it, but she had gone to Chewy's not too long ago for the first time. And had it and was just like, oh my God, this is amazing. I was like, well, come over to Super Bowl. I'll make you some. So we made like 2 gallons of it. Like
that?
Yes, a bunch. And we tried to eat it all with chips. And then we had cake, fajitas. And like these fajitas are just amazing. There's from this little meat place off Cross Timbers.
Okay.
It's in a gas station. And you'd be like,
everything you have, it's the best, is from a gas station.
No.
Except for the love in the middle of nowhere.
I need to find the name of it. I've talked about this place before. It's to me, it's the best fajita meat because it comes like it's already seasoned and marinated
right.
and everything.
I know what you're
but
talking about.
But it's not
about.
Like
they're
the
fantastic.
HEB that you buy right. where it's in the juice in the pack. It's not
you,
that.
You can get a lot of it in Mexican meat markets all around town.
Yeah. And this is, it's ridiculously good. And so we just buy a couple, you know,
you
5 pounds of it, and I'll cook it. And
go buy that Love's in the middle of nowhere. Make sure they sell breakfast tacos in the morning and fajita meat at night.
No.
You could turn the entire world upside down with the greatest gas station in the middle of nowhere, and it won't be the most depressing place on earth anymore.
So I ate nonstop. So I tried to even pace. This is how bad it was yesterday. I didn't eat all morning. We went and ran some errands and bought, you know, getting stuff done.
Because you had people over?
Yeah. We had my sister-in-law and my niece come over and her daughter. So it was just them. So I was just kind of running around, taking care of stuff, getting ready. So I didn't even eat until probably 3 p.m. So from 3 p.m., I probably went to bed about 10:30. Between 3 p.m. and 10:30, I gained 5 pounds eating food.
Golly.
That's a lot.
It does seem like a lot.
It was gluttonous. It was bad. I was miserable laying in bed, but I was so happy.
Well, that chips and dip, I think, will get you in trouble because you just don't stop eating it.
And not only that, like the salt in the chips. Yeah. If you eat a lot of chips on Super Bowl, then your body retains water.
Yep.
It was awesome. Even Saturday, I ran 4 miles to prepare myself. So then I said, all right, well, I've got my shows this week, Friday and Saturday at the Joke Joint. So, and I want to look sexy because I'm going to try to record the shows. So my goal is to get to 185, so 10 pounds by Friday. Some of it will come off just because it's just, you know, overnight. Like if you gain it that fast, you can probably lose it that fast. But I'm going to try to run 4 miles every day, Joel. Oof. Yeah.
Good
and
luck.
I got my 4 in today. It was so hard.
Outside?
Yeah. Yeah, outside
the
street.
Pretty good.
It was so hard. It's not bad.
Yeah.
I did not want to run, though, 5 pounds heavier, full of fajita meat and chips.
What'd you do, Nick?
I stayed at home. I had wings. My mom really wanted to make her homemade wings. She makes pretty good homemade wings, so I had some wings.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, I had some wangs, had some
I got two sick women at the house.
Had some gummies, yeah.
Yeah, Lisa had a sinus infection and was sick, and Taylor's been – so I was like, just we're not going anywhere. Like, I'm right before kickoff. I'm going to try to get Lisa orange juice and all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. But the minute that I get home, now I'm not going to be doing anything until after the game because it's work. I got to work. So I got to prepare and I got to work.
That's what I told him.
It didn't work.
Yeah. What? 2 hours before kickoff, my wife, my sister-in-law, and my niece want to watch some wedding show about wedding dresses. I was like, no. No, they put it on anyways. I got outvoted and then they wanted to fight. I was like, no, I don't even care about the pregame. I don't want to see these stupid ass wedding dresses on Super Bowl Sunday.
I was flipping channels to watch other sports things. But then when I realized when I came across the pregame show is 5 hours.
That is ridiculous.
From noon until 5.
That is absolutely insane.
Yeah, screw that.
I didn't want to see that, but I just didn't want to see wedding.
I don't blame you.
Crap.
Yeah. Lisa had on Real Housewives of some city, and I'm like, no, not today.
I was like, this is why I need a man cave. Because I can just
leave. Dude, you need one just like Joel's, dude. This is badass.
See, and then Joel needs to use it.
Yeah, you didn't use it?
I can't believe you don't use it.
Why not? Yesterday was the perfect time.
Right, but I got two sick ones in the house that I'm trying to help out, too. So I'm like, if they need to, or like if I got to watch Taylor because Lisa's not feeling good, I can't be in seclusion in the cave all day.
I would just tell her don't get sick. I'm sorry. Just don't get sick.
Better yet, I should say. Well, there's a seat in the man cave if you want to sit here and be quiet.
Yeah.
She ain't doing that either.
Uh-huh. Good luck with that.
Yeah. So, all right. We got a full show lined up. We mentioned Charlie Polillo joins us from 1:30 to 2 like he does every Monday and Friday. So, we know that Eagles Nick is on hold where he will stay because he committed the ultimate sin in radio where he called every show last time to gloat about the Eagles getting to the Super Bowl. And now he's already tipped us off that he wanted to call in today, which is great. But we have to verify he didn't call any other shows like last time. Otherwise, we will poo-poo on that platter. Speaking of poo-poo, Barry and I will also speak about some of the dumbest Eagles fans on the planet, not named Nick, and what they decided to use as a post-game snack, and get to a whole lot more because we know that some of the topics have already been kicked around, but you haven't heard it from the best. You've heard it from the rest, and that's why we're here for you right here on The Usual Suspects. We'll take you up until 4 o'clock, as I mentioned. If you want to join the show like Nick, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter, where we're also available throughout the show, at The Producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at Barry Is Funny. Right now, I do want to tell you about my good friends at Gallery Furniture. Mattress Mac and his crew, they just know how to treat you right when it comes to furniture all over the Houston area. And right now, the sales are just coming in, and they are all for you, and they're all set up. Largest selection of Tempur-Pedic sleep sets, rated the highest in customer satisfaction. All kinds of mattresses right now, and they're doing the Astros promotion all over again. If you buy $3,000 or more worth of Tempur-Pedic or bedroom furniture, and the Astros win it all, you get it all free, free, free. That's the way they do it. Mattress Mac's birthday is the 11th, but he always does his birthday sale up until 10 p.m. every night. He's going to turn 67. You come in. 67% off select items throughout Gallery Furniture. And of course, you buy $4,000 or more of the furniture right now, you get 36% back in free accessories. And as always, Gallery, buy today, get it tonight. One of three locations across Houston, Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland in the Galleria area. And of course, I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker both ways, where Max sits at the front desk and he'll tell you again and again, Gallery really will save you money.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, it's us doing what we do, and hopefully you are too. That means you're listening while we are delivering the best entertainment we can give you till 4 o'clock till we turn it over to the Blitz. It is Nick, it is Barry, and it is Joel. We all present and accounted for. We basically got you through the first segment without having to regurgitate anything about Super Bowl just yet, but we will get to all that with the exception, of course, of some food mentions because we are still a part of the great weight loss challenge that is the Usual Suspects weight loss challenge. And I noticed that aside from you and the fact that we should tell people on the Facebook page, you gave a warning to people.
I did.
That what you were going to do on a Sunday, you did not let anybody down by gaining that much weight, but everybody else seemed to stick pretty good to a plan.
They did great.
Where, yeah, they kept posting messages of workouts they got in. And I saw Chris did his cauliflower wings again, and he wanted to make sure you saw them in the different flavors, and I'm sure you still weren't going to be on board with it.
No, hell no. Nope. I just responded with those exact that exact word. He was like, you look very... And I said, no.
Yeah.
Not, no, nuh-uh. Can't do it. But I'm proud of those guys, man. Hey, gals. Everybody in there stuck with their diet and worked out a little. I did see one person had dessert, but it was a small piece, so good for them. They didn't go crazy like I did. Too. The piece of cake that I ate alone probably weighed a pound.
Not a boy.
It was so much cake. So much
Nothing
cake.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, it was...
I've learned from my wife, if you're a cake connoisseur, there's nothing wrong with that.
Except my wife kind of screwed me, because
it was a good night then.
I like the vanilla, or I guess it's white cake with buttercream frosting. That's the best cake.
So you're pro white throughout your entire cake?
Just cake.
Okay.
And she bought this cake. She was like, oh, it's a vanilla or white cake or whatever, but it's got buttercream frosting. Mm-hmm. But it was a football for the Super Bowl. I was like, oh, okay, I see you guys are real creative. But it was chocolate icing. And it didn't dawn on me until I cut this big ass piece of cake, and I don't like chocolate icing.
Why?
I don't know. I just like the regular old vanilla buttercream icing, and it was chocolate. And I felt like I had to power through it. And so I ate the cake, but I was sad. So I was sad eating a big ass piece of cake, but I wasn't going to not eat the cake.
I was just cut off the frosting.
Well, no. Why? No. You just had to power through it. It was bad.
So you want
to
make cake white again? Just all white?
Nope.
No chocolate frosting? Nothing?
I don't think I said that. I think that's you trying to twist that into something.
Of course it is. But okay. I'm a big cake fan. Where I think people go haywire these days, especially when you get all these different retail cakes,
uh-huh,
too much icing, frosting, and filling. I still want a good portion of actual cake.
You want to taste some cake.
Yeah.
Okay.
Instead, it's the in-between layers, and it's all over on the top.
Nick, what kind of cake guy are you? Are you a chocolate icing?
I'm a yellow
icing,
cake
vanilla?
With chocolate.
Okay.
Or I'm with you. And if I'm going to do vanilla, then I want the vanilla buttercream frosting with vanilla cake.
Okay. Nick? What kind of cake do you like?
I usually go with chocolate or vanilla, but mostly vanilla, because I really hate really rich chocolate. So
okay.
I try to avoid
Both
that.
Both of you, anti-chocolate in some way.
Yeah.
Man, my wife's a chocoholic.
I like chocolate. I just don't like chocolate icing on a cake. So we'll have to find out. Maybe we'll do a poll and see what everybody likes for cake.
Okay.
I'd be interested to know.
Because, you know, that's what radio people
don't do.
They do polls.
You're going to take Nick's call. I feel bad for it.
Yeah,
he's held long
I don't
enough.
Want Nick to wait through the entire Palillo segment. I teased him that we were going to torture him today. But, Nick, welcome to the show. Congratulations. Fly, Eagles, fly. All that. We're happy for you, man.
How you feeling, bud?
Dilly dilly, boys. Dilly dilly.
How you feeling, man?
Oh, my gosh. So, we got the Astros who won, and now the Eagles. It just feels amazing. You know, both those teams got their, well, not their first world champions, but... just the first Super Bowl that like the Eagles won, it was amazing, and I was so nervous. So I was with like ton of Eagles fans, and I thought that the refs were like going to give the game away because they kept the Patriots just kept on hammering all the receivers. Like, they were tackling Alshon Jeffrey in like the end zone. That was blatant pass interference. But, you know, the fact that they still won despite all those calls that, you know, on both sides that weren't being called.
Nick, don't go to the officials after you win. Don't play that card. Just gloat on your winning, but don't go back and play that card.
Peterson coached a hell of a game. Like he has the biggest set of balls I've like ever seen on a coach, man. That's went up against the monster and just cut off its head.
We can agree on that for sure. Nick.
If you could take two hot air balloons and put them in a pair of Fruit of the Looms, that's how big his grapes are.
I mean, to call that touchdown pass to Foles was ridiculously ballsy. And if he doesn't make it, then he's you know, and they lose?
In the worst way possible, the GOAT.
Yeah. Oh, man. But, you know, yeah, that call, he had some other – he didn't try to dink it and dunk it, and he let Nick Foles play. He let Nick Foles duel with Tom Brady when I don't know that anybody else necessarily would.
And Foles didn't let him down either, unlike Blake Bortles. He unleashed him, and some of the throws, the throw to the sideline over the shoulder to Jeffrey, and some of the throws that he made, man, oh, man, once he settled in, he made some great throws. He's going to make himself a lot of money, too, regardless.
So Nick,
and he threw that fluke interception, and I mean, I was just terrified because they just went down and scored, and I was like, man, that could have given it away, but then they came up with that strip sack at the end, and that was...
Yeah, and that's not on him. God. The interception was definitely not his fault. That was Jeffrey trying to make a play. But that look, he played the game of his life in the biggest stage possible. It was fantastic. So we appreciate it, buddy. Congratulations. Fly, Eagles, fly. Don't be a stranger now that football season is over with. But wanted to get Nick in before we get Charlie in because of the fact that Charlie's going to consume the next half hour. So we want to make sure we cover some of these. Clarence, you want to get in here real quick? We'll get you in real quick on the Super Bowl. What's up, man?
What up, guys? How's it going?
Sounds like we're doing better than you. Wake up, Clarence, if you're going to call. Let's go.
Oh, no, I'm woke. I'm wide awake. I'm eating lunch. I'm doing good. It was a great game last night. Offensive juggernaut game. The only defense that was played was the security guard blocking out Kevin Hart.
Wasn't that fantastic? We'll have some of that later. Yeah, that was good stuff.
that was some good stuff. But, man, Eagle fans, y'all got to act better than that. I mean, Houston fans, y'all won the World Series. I didn't see y'all trash in the city and jumping on canopies. And
Joel did eat some horse poop. That. Joel actually did eat a piece of horse poop, though.
That's false.
But yeah.
I know nobody saw that horse who got punched the first time. He called off. Twice. He was like, you know what? I'm not doing this again.
Right, that horse retired after that. I was worried. I even tweeted out, y'all please put up the police horses for the night. I don't want to see them getting punched again. They got two of them last time in a week. Now, Clarence, when New Orleans won, did New Orleans go crazy? I don't recall.
No, it was nothing like that because I'm going to tell you this. New Orleanians are afraid to get arrested.
Oh.
We're afraid to get arrested or do anything stupid, but it was a great game that the Eagles played, that the Eagles coached, everything, including the catch. Man, that catch was great. I don't know why you need to challenge that catch, even when you turn it to a runner, takes two steps off the field. Malcolm Jenkins, a good old Ohio State, New Orleans product, nice hit, clean hit, fair hit. It was a great game through and through. And Tom Brady, I got to give it up to you. Played one of the games of your career. It's just the Eagles wanted it more.
There it is.
And it was a great thing.
Appreciate the call, brother. Right, thanks guys, for checking in. All right, Clarence checking in early. Normally he's in the last hour, one of the last calls.
Yeah.
But he wanted to get in here because he knows the format around here. He knows he's got to either get in before Charlie or after.
I like how the Saints fans weren't crazy after the Super Bowl win. My ass. They were just as insane, bro.
No, they weren't.
You think
no
so?
No one's as insane, insane as Philly, man. Dude, for punching a horse as you're eating horse crap.
They were flipping over cars and doing crazy crap and running around the streets
naked,
Orleans? Too. Yeah.
I'd like to see proof of that. I don't think anybody celebrates as violently as Philly.
Yeah.
They're just some of the things I saw again last night are like, they are fans like no other. You can say that's passionate. It's flat out nuts, some of the stuff that they were doing. But yeah, it was out there. I mean, We might get to it. We'll try and get to it. But some of the scanner, everybody was finding the Philly cop scanners. It was just, you couldn't figure out if it was cops or people and what the hell was going on. But hey, Broad Street and Market Street were literally on fire last night with the victory for the Eagles in Philadelphia. We'll get to that more when we keep talking football. And of course, Charlie Pelillo is going to join us next for the next half hour. It's the Usual Suspects just getting started right here on ESPN 97.5.
From the first down to the first bite, ESPN 97.5 and Saltgrass Steakhouse present the official ESPN Houston app.
Now this is top notch.
Download today. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, halfway through hour number one of the three-hour extravaganza. As you know, we like to have friends of the show join us 1:30 to 2 o'clock on Mondays and Fridays. That's one Charlie Pelillo. He is in the studio now.
That's not how you made it sound 20 minutes ago.
What else?
I forget how he put it.
Well, if you don't know, you can't come to the show and bring that crap.
Well, it was the equivalent of in to clog the pipes for 20 minutes or half an hour.
It's organic, Charlie. It's what we do. Before we get to Mr. Pelillo, Patrick's been waiting. So Deshaun Watson topics want to get in here before Super Bowl. Patrick, what's up?
Yeah, man. So first, let me tell you that I just found out about your weight loss thing, and I put in a lot of good work with the missus this morning, and noticed that I have lost a pound and a half.
Okay. Probably too much information there, Barry. Way to go.
All right. Patrick, that was
inappropriate.
And hopefully you had the best cupcakes
curious,
ever.
Guys, with Deshaun Watson's injury, do you think that the Texans should even consider trying to pick up Kirk Cousins? I mean, I'm worried about the knee, you know, especially with an athletic quarterback like that and the offensive line that you got. And I think that might be a nice little backup or other option. So I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate it, Patrick. Look, here's the thing. Kirk Cousins is going to command upwards of $30 million a year, especially if the Redskins are considering franchise tagging him again and then trading him. So he's going to guarantee his money. But there's one thing to have a expensive backup like Nick Foles at $7.5 million a year. It's quite a different story when you're trying to put $30 million towards a potential backup that may start for you if Deshaun's not ready to play.
Yeah, and you can't afford to have both. I don't even know. They have so many holes to fill. Having a $30 million backup isn't one of them.
Yeah, and then there's the why would Kirk Cousins for 2 seconds consider coming here?
Right. Exactly. Right. I mean, it's just, I guess you can
back to the wife.
More cupcakes for you. So before we get to anything else, I want you to break this down for me. One-on-one in the low post, you go on your show today and you say you can take Kevin Hart.
He's like 4'8".
He's a multiple MVP of the celebrity game.
Well,
can hoop a little bit, and you're gonna and not only just take him, I understand you're athletic, but you're gonna put him on the low post and tell me you're gonna take him?
It was a height joke, Joel. I'm short. I'm allowed to make height jokes.
But I'd like to see it. Barry's one that always likes to see these challenges, you know.
Have we gone to the tape? He's literally 5'3", 5'4", something like that, Kevin Hart.
I have no idea.
I think that's about right. Short. I don't know how short.
So that's all. Okay. Relative terms, I tower over the man. He could not jump, block my jump hook.
The fact that you're willing to take a jump hook in a pickup, in even a one-on-one game, is a bit embarrassing.
You play to your strengths.
He's 5'4".
All right, 5'4".
Where are you?
So that's all 5'6".
Okay, so you got a 2-inch height advantage.
Yeah.
The reach might be.
You think you can jump higher than him?
And on certain days, I'm funnier.
Oh.
Wow.
You think you can
professional's
jump?
Professional's opinion. I was going to say, let's go to the pro. Scale, where do you grade Kevin Hart? Gardell, by the way, was fantastic with you guys Friday. I was listening.
Wasn't he great?
Yeah.
Billy's just couldn't have been nicer, too. What a good dude.
Yeah, super nice guy. 1 to 10?
Yeah.
Kevin Hart? I would say an 8 until you've seen him do the same shtick, and then it probably drops to a 6.5, 7.
All right.
You're going to bring a 7?
No. I've not seen extensive stand-up shows of his, but to me, being loud and manic is not inherently funny. I put it on the air earlier. If it's a comedy fight,
who's your cup of tea?
Dave Chappelle and Kevin Hart.
Oh, it's not.
It's
close.
A first round knockout.
That's like a Mike Tyson-esque knockout. I heard you say that, but it's Tyson-esque.
Who's your what is your style like? Who do you like?
I just like funny. I don't have a particular style, but to
well,
me,
who like if you see somebody
vulgar is not inherently funny. Pee pee and poo poo jokes are not inherently funny.
No, they can be though.
There needs to be some context to them, some cleverness to them. Just going out on the air and saying lesbian. No, not really.
So you're not coming this weekend to see me?
I just cover most of your act. Well, from you, it's fantastic.
You just ruined it for everybody. I make this one lesbian poop joke, and now I don't know what to do.
I'm sure you craft and weave together the elements. I doubt you go on stage and call a lesbian poop. Laugh, everybody.
No, that's it. That's my opener. That's it. Well, I don't know what to do now. Man, I don't know.
Now the joke joint's scrambled.
Oh, man, you just ruined everything, Charlie. I've been prepping this show. No, who's your guy? Who do you, if somebody.
I don't have a guy.
Like if Seinfeld is like coming to town, are you going?
He'd make the cut.
Okay.
George Carlin?
Pre-20 years of serial rape, Bill Cosby. Very clever.
Yes. Okay.
Not needing to work blue. Meanwhile, in his personal life.
Louis C.K.?
I'll take him over Dane Cook because I'll take anybody over Dane Cook.
Okay.
Dane Cook had a good run in the MTV years.
You see who's running with now?
No.
She's 19.
Good for him.
Wow, Scott. I know, take it easy.
I know I'm supposed to be upset, but good for him.
Dane 19. In charge.
No, it's legal. What's the problem? Is she hot?
Eagle green with envy?
Is she a hot 19?
I'm working on that right now.
Ugly.
Nick's like,
Nick
I'm good.
Nick's like, right. I got to look this up.
Good
I
got
to see this.
Charlie, I asked these guys, did you gain any weight eating bad?
No, it wasn't like Thanksgiving. That is just this massive.
And you didn't. You did it wrong. You Super Bowled wrong then. But that's
do you weigh yourself on a daily basis?
I do not.
Barry does multiple times.
Like 4 or 5 times a day.
What? But you're in a 4 or 5 times per day.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah. I'm obsessed.
It sounds like an appropriate word.
Yes.
I mean, you're in the midst of a regimen, if not a competition, right? So
just
I understand,
obsessed.
But a daily
That's just
way
him being him.
Even when I'm not in losing weight mode, I'm still doing it.
You carry your own scale? I mean, where, if I wanted to weigh myself 4 or 5 times a day,
I was
back and forth to the doctor's office?
All at home. Just all at home. Just at various points. I mean, listen, I don't have to leave the house till 11:15, so I have plenty of time in the morning to weigh a couple times, and then I get home.
A couple of times in the morning, so you weigh in before and after breakfast?
Yeah. Well, it
depends. Before and after
we
poops.
Talked about this. Yeah. See?
He's already talked about it on the air today.
And then, in the evening. So I'm just curious. I mean, you know, you don't weigh at all? Like monthly? What do you, don't care? You're fit, though, so you
don't
have to worry about it. You don't own a scale? God, I hate you.
At all?
That just means you're fit. If you
One
don't have
those
to,
little kitchen things that you know, how much sugar do I have on here?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, how many ounces do you weigh?
Well, 16 ounces is a pound, about 135 pounds. So that would be give or take 2,200
Rock
ounces.
Solid. Okay,
you're 135.
About that,
5'6", 135. I'm gonna put that in the BMI meter and see if you're overweight.
My God, are you kidding me?
Pretty much not. Body fat's higher than it used to be, but I'm probably like 13.
Really?
Yeah.
Your metabolism is on fire, isn't it?
Again, not as good as it used to be, but knock on wood, it hasn't overwhelmed me yet. I can still leg out an infield hit from time to time.
You don't have to give me your exact age. Give me a range.
51. That's the exact age.
You're okay. Good. I'm glad you're not scared.
Like
I'm looking it up. I'm looking up the
34-year-old woman. I'm going to say, I'm 28, Nick.
Well, he won't tell us how old he is. He's embarrassed. He wouldn't even give us his weight. We had to guilt him into telling us how much he weighed. So I just don't know. Some people are sensitive about those things.
Go weigh yourself and get off of me. How about that?
I'm just. Did I say anything?
I know.
Nick, did
at least
I say
we
anything
say
that wasn't
on the
true?
Air again. Jeez.
Did I say anything that wasn't true?
Yeah, you're not exactly Joel Trucker scale blank.
I understand that, but at the same time, it's like, you know, first of all, when you were born, and I can't use what I always say, but when you were born and inherited the fact that in the early years of my life, I was baby fat times on steroids. You know, without steroids. I mean, I've always and I've had
you
the issues.
Collegiately, you still actively hoop on the weekends?
Now, yeah, but even still, now from the time that I started here to the time that we started the weight loss challenge, I wanted to make sure. Look, I know I'm not some of these people that have signed up that are looking to lose like 40, 50, 60 pounds, but at the same time, I needed to get back into a really solid regimen, both from a diet standpoint and a workout standpoint.
Yeah, but did you deliberately balloon up before the challenge?
No.
So, the first 10 pounds of water weight, look at all the weight I'm losing here.
No.
Yeah. Okay, good news, you're normal.
And no, that pullover does not make you look fat.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're in the normal range, Charlie, which I think you knew that already. You're a 21. 18 to 25 is normal. You're a 21.
I'm pretty much smack dab normal.
Yeah. I mean,
almost perfectly mediocre.
Right there in
the
middle.
BMI scale.
Yeah, good for you.
Not on the softball field, though, if you're legging out infield hits and still fielding your position.
Well, these things are relative. There are some people who are, well, old. They'd shop at Thornton Mellon stores.
What the hell is that?
I don't even know what that is.
I don't know what those are.
Oh, for three? A little disappointed in you, Joel.
I've never heard of that. What is it?
Rodney Dangerfield, Back to School. I was
that's filmed at Madison, Wisconsin, too, but I still don't know what
worse.
It is.
That was the Tall and Fat Shops he owned, or whatever they were called.
That I can get Sandusky for you for auto parts, but I can't get that one.
You never seen Back to School?
I have seen it.
I don't remember it.
Yeah.
I saw it a long time
Triple
ago.
Triple Lindy?
The only thing I remember is the diving board scene.
Yeah.
That's literally, yeah. That's all I got. Sorry.
By the way,
Young
Eric Brooks on
superstar
Twitter says,
Robert Downey Jr.
Now, was Dangerfield your style of comedian that you liked? Did you enjoy Dangerfield?
I liked Dangerfield. I didn't think that Don Rickles' material was particularly awesome, but if he said hello, I would laugh.
Yeah, he's a funny dude.
George Wallace. Again, we're talking older school comedians now. Oh. I always thought he was very good.
Now you're talking about, I opened for George last year.
I was
going
to mention that, but I knew you'd beat me to it.
Yeah. Me and George kind of hang out on Twitter together. We chat from time to time.
Wow. So if I wound up here a year ago, I might have been able
I could have got you in.
George Wallace.
Yeah.
And Barry Laminack.
And Barry Laminack.
But this weekend you could come see Barry Laminack.
Where would that be?
The Joke Joint.
He's headlining. I'm going to go.
Yeah. Where he was moved because of Mr. Gardell's presence this
week.
So you should go.
So you're coming? Am I putting you on my list?
See, I don't listen.
No, I never said that because you text me half the time. So I know you listen.
Am I putting you on my list plus one, Charlie?
What, it's this weekend?
Don't. Why'd you stutter?
He did stop.
Yeah, Friday and Saturday. 8 o'clock and 10 p.m. on Friday, 7 p.m. and 10 p.m. on Saturday.
It's in the boonies, though, isn't it?
No, it's 45 South on Fuquay. That's not the
I was
boonies.
Saying.
Easy now.
So that's a no. Okay.
You guys
that's
contemplate
fine.
That. Eric Brooks on Twitter says Chris Rock's the best stand up comedian I've ever seen. All of his specials are on point.
So, big thumbs up, Chris Rock.
So, yeah, Chris Rock, good in your mind, but yet. Kevin Hart, not so much.
Well, yeah, just because they're both black doesn't mean they have the equal comic chops.
I get that. But you also, never mind. All right, we got one segment left with Sir Charles. We'll be back with a whole lot more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects, hour number one of the three-hour show. Charlie Palillo, as always, Mondays and Fridays, it is a visit from 1:30 to 2 p.m. Otherwise, you can hear him daily, 11 to 1, at SportsMap 94.1 FM. We were chewing the fat with Charlie pre-break on some of the different things, including also listened to you. So I was listening to you on the way in and talking about your one-on-one with Kevin Hart. I've seen you play hoop, though, but,
been a while.
Yeah.
Purely a height reference.
Okay.
Hart has skills.
He does. But,
But he's retired. He's claimed he's retired from that.
Well, it was a farce that he won MVP a couple years ago.
I've come closer to mounting a Super Bowl podium than Kevin Hart.
Which was fantastic, by the way. And we're going to get to that.
Hey, but, little boy, get out of here. You're not allowed here. I don't care that you're an Eagles fan.
Which one is your dad?
The greatest part of it was it took him till after on the way home in the car to finally come to the realization, thanks to his wife, A, he was drunk, and B, that was dumb. But yeah, he actually went on NFL Network after that and dropped an F-bomb.
Yeah, well.
So he was having a hell of a time with his Fly Eagles Fly, huge Eagles fan. So he was having a good time. So besides you going to Barry's show this week, did you guys work that out? Because you probably should be there.
I will absolutely commit to going to a Barry show. I have no idea about this weekend necessarily, but
don't worry. I forgive you.
For a
well, have
show
you ever
to
gone to one of his softball games?
I'm actually contemplating doing
now
that.
Now that's comedy. Yeah. Depends on the Sunday.
All right, we're going to play a game. Who had the higher QBR? You ready? You think you got this?
I'm willing.
You're a stats guy, right?
Yeah.
Did you look at the stats from the Super Bowl?
So this is the Pro Football Focus?
Nope, this is just on ESPN. Who had the highest QBR from the game? At a 100.
Oh, purely between a Foles and Brady?
Yes, at 100.
Perfect? Well, yes. It was perfect.
Trey Burton.
Sucker question.
Yeah, Nick Foles ended up with an 88.6, Tom Brady with an 83.8. Does that surprise you at all?
Not really. I thought Brady was a little scatter army actually in the first quarter, but geez, the guy throws for 505 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks. They do not punt in the game.
Yeah, I was saying to the guys.
And they lose the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say the ultimate hypothetical, if before the game you tell anybody Brady, the Patriots don't punt, he throws for everything that you just said, 500
yards. Just the one turnover.
Like that.
I mean, the time which came was killer, but with all those numbers.
You got to believe they win easily.
Yep. Hey, Foles avoided the major mistake. They executed pretty well in the red zone. And anyone who's been thinking the Patriots get all the calls, it's rigged for the Patriots, I guess that's been snuffed.
Yeah, in fact, I mean, one, if you look at, to me, what the difference is, obviously Tom Brady with the 500 yards was a big deal. But the fact that the Eagles could run the ball and they ended up with 164 yards rushing. Blunt had 90 of those, but he had a big run. He had that 36-yard run. Ajayi had the 26-yard run. Between the two of them, though, they run for 147. And I think that was a big difference, is they were able to move the ball and not be one-dimensional. Because you knew – I was surprised that Peterson let Nick Foles throw the ball like he did. I thought it would be a lot of dinks and dunks and keeping it short and intermediate passing, and that just wasn't the case. He just let him go out there and play quarterback. But being able to run the ball and have that as an option, I think was a big deal for this team, because the Patriots could not just key on the pass.
There were
and
stretches.
On Nick Foles.
I thought a Big 12 game broke out. I mean, not a defense could stop the other, period.
Right. Yep. Well, here's the thing. We talked about the turnovers on Friday. We talked about the quarterbacks. But who would have thought, too, that from a perspective of when it came down to the quarterbacks, who had better hands? Because Brady jumps early and botches, which was where they could have kept a drive going, but instead they blow that. And then the unbelievable, forget the catch by Foles, which was easy, but the size of the stones on Peterson to make that call in a fourth down situation, basically giving away 3 points and rolling the dice, and then executing that play perfectly, that was fantastic.
I love the going forward call. I'm not having an idea that that would be the call, but they're up 15-12, so let's see. We kick the field goal here. We're up 6. Patriots have the ball starting the half. I don't think we're going to win the game with a field goal here, so let's go for the 7. And even though the Patriots came back and took the lead in the fourth quarter, so yeah, that goes down as a legendary call. Brady, I don't think the hand had anything to do with it. Not to knock Michaels and Collinsworth, but I'm sure either guy objectively is not thinking that's the greatest game they've ever called. But Brady's just so unathletic. He just couldn't reach. He couldn't jump. And the ball hit his left hand, not the one that had the cut. And Foles is a really tall guy. And so Tom Brady lost. I'm sure that doesn't bum out a bunch of people, including Steeler fans, most notably. Yeah, see that Jesse James ball? Should have been a touchdown. Hey, Ertz caught it, ran 2 steps. And then there was the juggle and Collinsworth shot. I think that's going to be reversed. I hope they really do just redefine the whole rule.
Collinsworth, I was a fan of him until that. And then it was like, okay. Because then it seemed like after that, he kept trying to prove his point or make it controversial. And it was like, dude, he took 3 steps. He dove for the end zone. Name another guy. If a guy breaks a 50-yard run and he gets to the end zone and dives, once he crosses the plane, it's over. Whether he hits the ground and the ball comes loose or not, it's over. He took 3 steps and dove at the end zone, which is, again, similar to what happens in the Steelers, but the difference is
James
turned.
Steps. He turned and reached.
And that's what I was doing.
3 steps. It wasn't a controversy
literally,
at all.
Literally, he got 4 down. Like, if you're looking for it, he takes the 2 obvious steps, but then as he's diving, he does plant them again. They go up in the air and they come back down again. But I thought, in retrospect, I know you guys may have thought about this differently, I did think they were going to give that call to the Patriots. I was shocked that they didn't. And the one that even shocked me more was Clement in the back of the end zone because of the fact that, look, it looked like he bobbled it. The only thing that I would say that NBC might have missed it on is if they really used that super slow-mo and they zoomed in, you could almost see a little of the green between the tiptoe naked eye, no.
Right.
But on the close-up, Clement's foot on the back line looked like there might have been a little space there when he did finally establish possession. But that was another one. I thought, regardless of whether it was the right call or not, I thought from the NFL and the precedents and everything like that from this year, they were going to reverse that.
And I'm thinking that after the game on the Patriots side, it's just we lost the Super Bowl, bummer, we're disappointed we didn't. But especially the Ertz call, since that was the final points. Well, not the final points, they kicked the field goal after that. But I can't say I watched all the post-game coverage or read it all today, but I haven't seen any beef from the Patriots that call was terrible or anything
or
like that.
Or calls. So. I was curious about both of them, if Patriots fans were going to use that as an excuse.
I felt like on the Clement call that there was some movement. The ball moved as he was going to the ground. And I felt like that they made that could have gone either way.
I thought that was the more questionable of the two.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been upset if they would have overturned that and said, nah, there was movement. He was out of bounds. That's not a touchdown. I would have been fine with that, which I think I lean more towards that anyways. I'm maybe, 60-40, 55, 45, where I don't think that was a touchdown. But I'm not – it wasn't egregious. It wasn't one of those things where once he had established that that's a touchdown – he never lost the ball. It just moved a little. So that didn't surprise me too much other than the fact that the Patriots weren't the recipient of a call like that.
Anyone think Gronk really considers retirement? It was after the game, and he said, hey, yeah, it just happened. I'll take the next couple of weeks. But multiple back surgeries. He had that whole elbow thing. Did the concussion really shake him up at all? He's 28. He's rich. He has lots of parties to attend. He wants to be lucid attending the parties and then get messed up.
I mean, he's not the sharpest tool in the shed either way, right? I don't see him having a future in broadcasting. He is due like $18 million over the next 2 years. But I just think, especially with the game he had too, I understand it from the standpoint of he hasn't really been healthy in the last four. But overall, with the fact that Brady's coming back and because he gets so much out of and targeted so much because of Brady, I just think it's one of those things, well, he'll get over it and he'll come back. And I think Brady will try and beg him back if he's even on the fence.
Lose both their coordinators. The offensive line coach might retire again. Guess they'll have Brandon Cooks back. 600 yards, everything they did in their explosive wide receivers gone in the first quarter.
I don't think he retires next year. He's got 9 million
reasons to keep coming.
9 million reasons to come back next year. Then he becomes an unrestricted free agent.
I thought he had two left.
At which point, no, he's got 2018 is 8 million and then 2019 is 9 million. So are you counting
the last 2 years?
So, oh well, I guess so. Yeah, 2018. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So he's got 17 million reasons to come back, and then he's an unrestricted free agent, and he's probably going to break the bank at that point if he can just maintain some semblance of the career he's had. So I don't think he does. I think it's just one of those things. It's just right after a loss in the Super Bowl. It hurts.
Maybe the Texans get CJ Fedorowicz back.
Hmm.
All right, message time here for RoofMD and General Contracting. This is entirely a Houston company, not an affiliate or no parent company somewhere else. Mark Donaldson, the MD and RoofMD in General Contracting, a lifelong Houstonian. And if you have a roof issue or any other contract matter, window replacement, drywall, chimney, insulation, a whole bunch of stuff, he'll take care of you the same way that he has for a long time now, friends, family members, neighbors, because he takes particular pride in working in his community. Now, for all that, how about free stuff? Free roof inspection for the asking, nothing attached to that. For the asking, you should do that annually. 832-967-ROOF. 832-967-ROOF. If you're in good shape, great. If you need work, you can trust in an honest, educated, local professional roofer and contractor. With financing options, zero down, 12 or 18 months, or low interest, longer payment, low monthly plans. Roof MD and General Contracting. Again, roof inspections are free. 832-967-ROOF. 832-967-ROOF. Say hey to Mark and work in. You heard that on ESPN 97.5.
There you have it. Another pleasant and spirited discussion between Charles Polillo and the usual suspects. We always appreciate having him on. And again, SportsMap 94.1, Monday through Friday, 11 to 1, right here on our sister station. And he will join us again on Friday from 1:30 to 2 o'clock. So don't miss that. If you can't find a way to find a good reason to tune him in, 11 to 1, because it's a great lead into us. So you can always flip back and forth between Raheel and Dell. And, of course, Charles in charge. We'll be back with hour number two of the big show. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.